Welcome to Legal News and Review, recipient of the Florida Bar Award of Excellence. Legal News and Review, the only real problem solver radio program using the law, with your moderator, Philip Bell, and hosts and legal panel attorney, Gary Singer, chair of the Broward County Bar Association's Real Property Section. Gary Singer is board certified in real estate law and a syndicated columnist from the Sun Sentinel. He is an expert in his field of practice. Now, here's your moderator, Philip Bell.
On the docket for today's broadcast, unintentional injury or wrongful death surpasses homicide, suicide, diabetes, and a number of other causes of death here in Florida. It's now ranked fifth as the leading cause of death. I'm very pleased to have attorney Eugene Pettis, co-founder of Halixer, Pettis, and Schramm. He will be giving us the 411 on wrongful death. Eugene, who also in June 2013 became the president of the Florida Bar, also the first African-American to serve in that position. In his role at the helm of the Florida Bar, which governs over 100,000 attorneys and still counting, he provided visionary leadership and he brought passion by giving back to the profession that he does love and the community. One of his legacies is the charge of a commission in 2013 to conduct a three-year study to look at the current impact as well as long-term challenges that the legal profession will face. This comprehensive study provides the foundation to prepare today's lawyer for tomorrow's practice. But first, I'd like to welcome the legal panel host for today's program, Gary Singer.
Yeah, hey, how you doing? 2013, I was thinking, like yesterday.
Right.
It's amazing how time flies. It was a long time ago, but it was a good year.
And it's a great legacy that stood past his his time there. I also want to remind our listeners that they can actually watch the production live on Thursdays at 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. And you can watch archive programs. Just Google Facebook, Legal News and Review. It comes right up, and you'll see we're recording live at Kelly Ustall Building in their forensic mock courtroom. And Kelly Ustall Law Firm is committed to helping you seek justice. Go to justiceforall.com. That's justiceforall.com. You know, attorneys all over the country refer cases to Kelly Ustall because of the resources, but more importantly, their successes. If you've been severely injured because of someone else's negligence and you need answers, you can also call 954-522-6601, or it's best just to go to justiceforall.com. Eugene Pettis, good afternoon, and welcome to Legal News and Review.
Hello, Philip.
You know, Eugene, before we actually talk about wrongful death, unintentional injury, I want our audience to know you were president of the Florida Bar. It's one of the largest bars in the country. I think it governs well over 100,000. Is that correct?
Correct. When I was president in 13 to 14, we had 98 to 100,000 lawyers. We're probably up to about 105,000 now, second largest bar in the country.
And one of your initiatives was called Vision 2016. Now, this was done in 2013.
Correct.
And, you know, technology, we were talking before the show, like artificial intelligence has changed so much. I don't take this the wrong way, Eugene, but I'm afraid it might put you out of business.
You know, that was the concern. I think we have a choice. We can ignore it or we can try to address it and find a way to maintain our practice and the core principles of the practice of law in the face of the advancing technology. So one of the four groups that we had, and we had probably close to 100 people, professors, lawyers, lay people with various skills, looking at the areas of technology, looking at access to justice, who can practice law as well. And the last area was legal education, because they're ever changing right before our eyes. And we need to adapt to some of these changes, because change is gonna occur whether we address it or not. It's just we need to be the ones to help shape the practice going forward.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Phil, there's certain professions that will never go away, attorneys being one of them. There's jokes about the oldest one, but there's certain professions.
Like grave diggers?
That might actually go away. I mean, a good place maybe for artificial intelligence, because it's a discrete thing. You know, attorneys aren't a matter of their forms. I know a lot of people get up in arms about LegalZoom, but when you ask most lawyers who practice in the same areas, for example, LegalZoom does, they actually make more business for us fixing the problems that are created by these AIs making forms. You can never, lawyers, good lawyers, give opinions, they give advice, they counsel. They don't just make forms, they don't just do technical things. So I just don't see, it'll be many, many years before an AI will ever be able to replace lawyers. But technology and AIs can make lawyers more efficient and allow them more time to use the things that lawyers, I know I'm being really serious for a change, that lawyers should be doing, which is working directly with their clients to help them achieve their goals, not digging through form banks to fill in the blank. That's not what lawyers should be doing. Often, sometimes we have to, but they should be counseling and advising. And, you know, looking at, and one of the best things that our former bar president did is when he put together this work group that over the course of years put together these recommendations and looks to the future, it did help pave the pathway. It was really a great accomplishment, and I mean that, towards where we as lawyers and Florida lawyers, one of the leading bars in the country, will be going over the next 5, 10, 15, even 20 years,
right,
and leading forward. And because of our numbers and, well, everything in the news is in Florida, leading the country in many times forward into technology. And we have a great bar for it. We've implemented some great things because of it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you're correct. I would agree. Lawyers are going to be here, and there are certain things that computers will, AI, computer technology, et cetera, will never be able to replace. Mm-hmm. And that's the processing, the empathy, the things that we do. We bring the human touch to legal challenges. Some of the things lawyers, particularly BIC Law, I was at a BIC firm last week right here in Fort Lauderdale. They were talking on this topic about, they used to put X number of law clerks in a room and bill about $250 an hour to go through the documents. Mm-hmm. There's now technology that'll run through that in a matter of minutes at a lot cheaper price point. That has already happened.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And this law firm was talking about they are priced out of challenging technology. They can't do it as cheap as technology. So we're going to have to find our way in this new paradigm. And there is a place for us, and there will always be a place for us. Our biggest challenge is, in the midst of all of this technology and efficiency, we are putting out 12 law schools, thousands of lawyers every year, and the lawyer's career is about a 40-year career, 35 to 50-year, you know, range that most of us work at some level.
Right.
There's not enough positions on the team for that number of lawyers. Eventually, it's got to level itself out.
Yeah.
We're putting too many lawyers way disproportionate with the significant rise in our population here in Florida. Still a lot of lawyers.
Sure.
But, you know, there is a lot of lawyers, and in some regards maybe two lawyers. But, you know, I worked with Elizabeth, our other guest, on the Young Licensed Practice of Law Committee, and there's still plenty of non-lawyers who are getting paid to do maybe some of the smaller things. So obviously there's still a greater need for legal services than what we're delivering as lawyers. We just need to find better delivery pathways or maybe more affordable solutions to get it done.
Interesting enough, he addressed it. He addressed the issue regarding non-attorneys. Mm-hmm. And if you recall, remember when Charles Moorhead was here?
Oh, yeah, we aggressed that one very strongly.
You were very aggressive like that. I was surprised to see that there was not any action. You know, people weren't doing anything about it.
Right. And that's a big area, you know, unlicensed practice of law.
Dangerous.
It's a dangerous area, and it's very dangerous for the consumer because they're the ones that are losing out. Mm-hmm. And we have to do a better job of that, which means we need to dedicate more resources and attention to that area. So Charles was absolutely correct in shedding light on UPL.
Yeah. But enough about that. Let's get a little more into the nitty-gritty of what what he does.
Well, yeah. I mean, I invited him to speak about wrongful death, but when I looked at his career and background, we definitely want to have you come back because I could do a whole show on just one of these issues.
This is very important. It's a very important topic.
It absolutely is. But what's interesting to me, my friend, is that even though you left as president in 2014, correct?
Correct.
That initiative lasted well after you were there, unlike other heads of organizations like that.
And I think that's important. It was not about me. It was about the profession.
Right.
And I went to the people that I thought were, one, my president-elect, Greg Coleman. Greg was very high on technology. Will you lead the technology committee? Ray Abedin, who is going to be next, will you lead legal education? And we continue to advance it. With leadership carrying it forward for 3 years. And that is hence the name, Vision 2016. In 3 years, we wanted to have a report of having deep dive study of those various areas that are covered in.
Well, continuing education, as CLE as it's called. Matter of fact, here with the help of Kelly Ustall, we're going to be doing some podcasting for CLE. Mm-hmm. And the best part about it, in my opinion, is free for the attorneys.
Exactly.
You don't have to pay for it, you know. But transparency was a big issue for a lot of attorneys that's been on the program, those that have been practicing as long as you have, you know, from where it was to where it is now.
Correct.
And that's another issue. You know, we're going to have to take a quick break. It's time for a break. And I'd like to welcome our local listeners on 96.9 FM, 103.9 FM, and 740 AM, along with our national listeners on iHeart, TuneIn, and iRadio Now. And, of course, I like to say hello to our Facebook crowd. You know, I don't give enough acknowledgement. He's waving as well. And if you're just joining us, we're talking with Eugene Pettis, and we're talking about he's a former president of the Florida Bar, a very, very prestigious organization. But we're going to be coming back and speaking about wrongful death, what it is and what it's not, and what actually makes a case and the liabilities thereof. You're listening to Legal News and Review, and we're going to be right back.
Do you need an attorney? Call someone you can trust. The Broward County Bar Association, a not-for-profit organization, was founded in 1925 to foster courtesy, ethics, and professionalism, as well as to provide necessary legal services throughout South Florida. The Broward County Bar Association, 3,000 members strong, has attorney members that work throughout the entire state of Florida, as well as nationally and internationally. Remember, the Broward County Bar Association is a referral you can count on. Call the Broward County Bar Association at 954-764-8310 for all your legal needs. A referral you can count on. 954-764-8310. Or contact online at browardbar.org. Non-lawyer spokesperson.
Welcome back to Legal News and Review. Recipients of the Award of Excellence from the Florida Bar. To contact the legal panel hosts and guests, go online to belegalbuzz.com. Once again, here's your moderator, Philip Bell.
Legal News and Review is back on the air. I'm Philip Bell, the moderator, and with today's host, Gary Singer. You know, wrongful death is an issue that really needs to be explained, what it actually is and what it's not. First of all, we're speaking with Eugene Pettis, and Eugene practices in that area. And my first question, Eugene, is what is the difference between wrongful death and a personal injury case?
Other than the obvious, one being a personal injury case is someone who's been injured and survived it. Wrongful death, obviously, is an individual who did not survive it. But it's the pain and suffering. Who gets the benefit of the pain and suffering is really one of the key differences. In a wrongful death case, it's about the pain and suffering of the survivor. If the husband got killed and he has a surviving wife,
right.
It's about her pain and suffering from the loss of her husband. In a personal injury case, it's about his pain and suffering. And that's where the damage is. That's the huge difference.
Okay. That absolutely is.
Good explanation. But we've heard explanations before. That one's much clearer,
yeah,
actually. I actually understand it now, finally.
What actually are some of the common causes of wrongful death? Would a car accident, if I hit somebody within my car, and it was an accident, is that considered wrongful death? And the person dies?
Absolutely. If the person dies, it really dictates which statute we bring it under. And automobile deaths, premises liability.
Oh, yeah. Like Pulse. We talked about that.
We did.
They shot up.
Yeah. They shot up 49 people at Pulse. Those are wrongful death claims.
Probably Parkland.
Parkland are wrongful death claims. Absolutely.
Yeah.
In Parkland, you had the 13 children who got killed. Those are wrongful death claims. You had a number of people that got personal injury. So within one incident, you have both categories covered. You have a lot of negligent security cases could turn into either wrongful death or personal injury cases. But those are common cases.
But only surviving family members may file wrongful death claim?
Yes. And one of the key when you talk wrongful right. death is not always just within the broad personal injury realm. Wrongful death could be within the medical malpractice realm that we often talk about. And one of the differences in medical malpractice cases, 25 years is a very important threshold within medical malpractice. In a medical malpractice case, parents can recover for a child who is 25 years or younger. Children can have a cause of action if their parents are get killed if they're 25 years or younger.
Wow.
If you're over that threshold, you're affected, you're limited on both. Parent for the child who's 36 years old, 40 years old, you don't have a case. When you're talking about a non-medical malpractice case, that 25 goes out the door. And the parent for the child who's older than 25, they can have a claim if there's no other surviving child or spouse. And the same is true. The same is true for that. The opposite. The child in a non-wrongful death case right. could have a case on behalf of a parent if there is no surviving spouse. So we twist it up a lot in law. In medical malpractice, 25 is that threshold.
Right.
And that threshold goes out the door in personal injury wrongful death if there is no other
survivor.
Let
me ask you this real quick here. As the former president of the Florida Bar, you can make some recommendations and changes to the law, at least to the legislature as well. What is your personal opinion regarding the age restriction?
Well, I mean, I have sat with family members recently, and you see families who are devastated by the loss of their and some of it, sometimes it's just outrageous medical negligence. And to tell them the state of the law and that you don't have a claim
right.
is devastating. And it's really one of those areas of the law that I think is hard to justify. And one of the areas that I think, you know, if we could change it, it's something that needs to be looked at to change. When there's been a loss of a family member, the fact that you happen to be 26
right.
or 24, that shouldn't be the determining factor.
Well, I was not a mama's boy, but I spoke to my mother every single day up until the time of her dying.
I don't believe that, Phil. I think you were a mama's
boy. Well, thank you.
But are they mutually exclusive? Like, can you bring or start one at least while you're alive, a personal injury case, and then if you pass or the person passes, can the family member then bring a wrongful death, and does that, like, cancel the personal injury case?
You can bring forth what we call a survival action. Survival action is I got injured and I was in the hospital and I was suffering from these injuries for however long I suffered and then I died.
Mm-hmm.
So that case, let's say 6 months you suffered and you suffered personal injury, but then you died. And then from that point, at some point you need to make you can do it alternatively,
right.
but at some point you're going to have to make the selection. Which way do you want to go?
So it is one or the other.
One or the other.
Gotcha. Okay.
And what kind of damages come with a wrongful death case?
You have all sorts of damages. Let's break it down into categories of economic and non-economic.
Right.
And in the economic area, we have loss of support and services. That's, you know, the spouse took care of the family, the wife took care of the husband took care of the wife, and now that supporter, the breadwinner, is lost, you have support and services. You have lost wages. You have what we call net accumulations. Net accumulations, and these are in the economic categories. Net accumulations is that amount of money that net of what you would have consumed yourself through your normal expenses,
right.
you would have saved this amount of money, and you had this more years of work life expectancy, it would have accumulated to a certain amount of money.
I mean, you work with a forensic accountant?
Absolutely. You
okay.
have a forensic accountant. You have an economist. On the bigger cases, you could have both. On the non-economic damages, it's on the pain and suffering side, and that's determined really one of the big domains of the jury. Is there is no litmus test in Florida? Thank God, all of our limitations on medical malpractice caps have all been found unconstitutional. Most recently, on the arbitration statute from one of our circuit judges in Miami.
Yeah.
So the what a jury determines to be fair for your loss on pain and suffering is what they give you. And it's based on the dynamics of a trial and the dynamics of a jury and the individuals that are involved.
If I can jump in.
Oh, let me explain our audience. Gary Ostro just came in from court.
I apologize.
That's
I didn't
right.
come from court, obviously, but I apologize for being late.
Tennis court.
I don't know if you addressed this or not, but if you didn't, explain the distinction and the irony of the fact that a PI case is of greater value damage-wise than a wrongful death case, and why?
Well, you know, you can have a personal injury case, and as you know, Gary, that's a general rule, and I agree with it generally. Every case turns on its own. But you can have a person who survived, and they could have care that's needed for years, if not for the rest of their life.
Right.
And the cost of care becomes astronomical. There's nothing that you can build up a case more than a care plan for a quadriplegic or a paraplegic or someone who's going to have to undergo therapy for the rest
of
their life.
Or a newborn child that was dropped.
And now that child lives with that personal injury for the rest of their lives.
Yeah.
That can command huge numbers. When you have a wrongful death, I just left. I was speaking in Sarasota yesterday, and I was speaking with a judge over there, and he was saying, I haven't seen a medical malpractice plaintiff's verdict here once since I've been on the bench in 1998.
Wow.
Why do you think that's
the
case?
His read on it was, it's the individuals that migrate to Sarasota County are just very conservative individuals, and you come in and, you know, you're limping. Okay, well, I limped and I worked every day. You know, it's just a different mentality than we have over here. And you see that. You know, many people say we have three different states within the state of Florida. You got South Florida, you got Central Florida,
that's right.
And then you got the Panhandle.
I can see that explaining maybe a value of a PI case, but not the prima facie fact that there's a malpractice case. The fact that it's conservative has nothing to do with that aspect of
Well,
it.
No.
Or does it?
It does. It absolutely does.
How so?
How so? Because I had a case. I could only give you an example. It was a vascular injury medical malpractice case in Sanford, Florida. The lawyer asked the lady who lost her leg due to delay in diagnosis of the vascular blockage. She lost her leg. She was a beautiful lady. She has a prosthetic leg for the next 20, 30 years of her life. It's a pretty big case in South Florida. I mean, anybody would be impressed with that case. And he says, ma'am, let's talk about how this has impacted your life and tell us what you do in the morning. And he said, can you show us how you take your prosthetic leg off?
Oh, wow.
And she took it off. You know, that would down in Fort Lauderdale would be a quiet moment in the courtroom.
Yeah.
Whoa. This jury looked at her with their arms full, like, what's your next trick?
Oh, my goodness.
And the case settled the next day for $50,000. There's no way
you would
have $20,000 to get the doctor's letter or affidavit of malpractice.
Exactly. But that tells you the difference in how communities look at these cases, and it affects it on the liability and the valuation of the case.
And the lawyer invested six figures in that case easily.
The lawyer came out of that loss.
Right.
It was a net loss.
It was a good lesson there. Just go to doctors in Broward.
Don't lose a leg in Sarasota.
Don't lose it there. Keep driving yourself down this way.
You've been practicing for how many years?
33.
33 years.
Wow.
And have you noticed a decline in judgments, if it goes to that level of court, that the juries are different, they're not willing to give because of those commercials, you know, this guy got me $400,000 or whatever?
Well, I have two. You're questioning when you put that in the mix.
Yeah.
One of the things, I think that belittles the practice.
It does.
The whole checks up on the highways, and
right.
My lawyer got me this. I hate that. And I ran into First Amendment rights and federal court judges' rulings. I think it's awful. It makes it look like the practice of law is some lottery, which none of the professionals that I work with, like that impression. However, good cases are still respected in the court of law. Cases, and it requires lawyers to select good cases and let those that go, let them go. Let those that are not valuable, let them go. You have to tell people and be honest. And the bottom feeders that try to take anything and squeeze what they can, those are not the lawyers that I think really reflect
the
best of our
reputation.
Our profession.
Like your firm, you're going to try it. You're all ready to try it. You're not there to settle. You're there to protect your client. Same thing with Kelly Ustahl. They
absolutely
do the same thing. They're there to try. That's why we're in the forensic mock courtroom. Mm-hmm. they are prepared to take it to the level. And that's the kind of attorneys that you do need.
Absolutely.
Gary?
Well, you know, I think that you make very good points, especially about, you know, the billboard lawyers and the lottery aspects of it. If someone feels that they have this sort of issue in their family and they think they may have a wrongful death case, what should they do? I mean, besides call you, obviously.
Well,
how do they know?
Time is of the essence in a lot of these cases. Why do I say that? Because, one, in many, particularly medical malpractice cases, do you need an autopsy? What's the cause of death? Is it dispute? Sometime, if you don't have an autopsy to show really what caused the injury, you left the door open for a 50-50 argument as to what the cause really was. It makes it more difficult. If you can do the exam, an autopsy, no lawyer is going to tell the family to go do that. But
right, after the fact, you're right.
He or she can certainly tell them that's the decision you need to make, and without it, you may not know the real cause of why your loved one was
gotcha.
Lost. Collection of evidence, physical evidence on the roadway, getting pictures close to proximity, all of those are time issues. If you think you have a wrongful death or a medical malpractice, get to an excellent lawyer and let he or she guide you and your family. If nothing else, they'll lead you to what the answers are so you can have closure. And
gotcha.
I think that's of great value.
Fair. Now, we're running out of time. So if someone wanted to talk to you about that, how would they get a hold of you?
I'm here in Fort Lauderdale. I'm born and raised here in Fort Lauderdale. We have a Fort Lauderdale and an Orlando office. My number is 954-523-9922 and Eugene Pettis at hpslegal.com.
HPSLegal.com. Well, we're out of time. I want to thank you very much for being on. Gary, thanks for eventually showing up.
Eugene, if something comes to mind,
to make
a segment you would like to be part of, do let us know.
Please, we'd love to have you back, but we are out of time. I want to thank our listeners and be safe and be legal.
You've been listening to the award-winning Legal News and Review, recognized by the Florida Bar's Award of Excellence. To contact the legal panel hosts and guests, go to belegalbuzz.com. And to reach Gary Singer, board-certified real estate and syndicated columnist, appearing in 400 media outlets, including the front page of the Money Section every Monday in the Sun Sentinel, from the law firm of Gary M. Singer, PA, call 954-851-1448 for legal news and review. Remember, be legal.